Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 22. Well, somebody say love again, sex, and dating. Last week, we started off talking about what is love, and we talked about the four kinds of love. We talked about agape love, eros love, storge love, and philios love. We talked about how the world talks about love, but they don't understand what it is. And as really and truly, the God of the Bible, the God who revealed himself to us through the form of Jesus Christ, has revealed himself as love. God is love. And the agape love, or the love that God has for us, is something that's unique, something that can't be found anywhere else in the world. And once you receive this love as a Christian, you are required to love at a different level or a different standard than the rest of the world. That's why, for example, Jesus said things like, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another." All right? And so that love that we are supposed to have for one another is not a love that the world can give, because they must first receive this love. And I hope we all have received the love of God, which is where our salvation comes from, right? That God came and he showed us his love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. We also learned, for example, last week in 1 John chapter 4, that love is from God. And whoever loves is born of God. Or whoever loves has been born again, has been born from above, because we have received the love of God. Which means God's love actually changes our nature. God's love, when you receive the love of God, it changes you, it transforms you. Something is new on the inside of you, and it gives you the capacity to love at a different level. That's why Jesus says, for example, I told you to love your neighbors, but now I want you to even love your enemies. Which is a love that's not normal. It doesn't make sense, right? But that's the love that God gives us. He gives us a love that even allows us to love even our enemies. People who get on our nerves, people who we can't stand. When you have been born from above or born of God, when you receive his love, it changes your nature and it gives you the capacity to love to another level. And even before I get particularly in relationships, and we talk about the sex issue, the Lord put this word on my heart this morning, and I had something else to share relating to love. But God said, before you even talk about anything else, we need to deal with the issue or the root cause of why there's conflicts in relationships, period. So I'm still coming from a broad perspective, and then we're going to get a little deeper or closer in, right? So let's look at Matthew 22. Let's look at verse 36. We're going to look at a number of scriptures today, but I'm telling you, this is going to be a very powerful message, if I say so myself. Matthew 22, verse 36. "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Verse 38. "And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." So if you've been with us for some time, you may have heard me say this plenty of times. Jesus has given us, not only did he give us a great commission, he gave us a great commandment. And he told us what the two greatest commandments are. And if you guys are here, I want you guys to take notes today, because I'm going to be sharing a lot. When the rich young ruler asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, "I'm going to boil all the commandments, everything that the law, everything that the prophets prophesied about in the Old Testament, I'm going to boil all of it down to two simple commandments." And he said, "Love God with all your heart, everything you have, your emotions, your mental capacity, your soul, your everything, your personality, just love God with it. And then the second is equal. Love your neighbor. Love people as you love yourself, right? And so now, when I was in prayer, when I was preparing for today, the Lord said, we are called to love in three ways. We're called to love vertically. We're called to love horizontally. And we're called to love internally. We're called to love vertically, horizontally, and internally. We are commanded to love three ways. Which means we're caught in a love triangle. Every Christian is in a love triangle. We're commanded to love three different ways. That's hard. But we're called to love three different ways. We're called to love in three different capacities, vertically, horizontally, and internally. The Lord began to say, every love triangle has a scandal attached to it. So somewhere in this love triangle, there's a scandal. And that scandal actually prevents us from loving the way God actually wants us to love. Now, I talked about before we even enter into this love triangle, God's love, the love of God, loves us. The Bible says we didn't love God first, right? That he loved us first. So we enter into this love triangle knowing that, or believing and receiving that God actually loves us. That his love, his unconditional love, we talked about last week, his love that made room for our mistakes. His love that showed us that even though we were sinners, even though we were ungodly, even when we were his enemies, the Bible says Christ still died for the ungodly. So when we come into this relationship with God and we recognize that God already loves us, it brings us to the place where now we can take the same love that God has given us. We can love him back with it. We can love people. We can love ourselves. Now, I can say this every day. I can say this for the next 2 weeks. I can say this for the next 4 weeks. We all know we're commanded to love, but we all also understand how challenging and how difficult it is to actually love, right? So for us, it's not so much that we know we need to love, it's just that how do I actually mature or grow in the areas of my life where I need to love? Now, how many people believe and feel inside their heart that they need to grow in love, that they need to learn to love some more? All right, so we're all willing to grow and find out. We want to know how to increase our love capacity, right? Now, let's fast forward to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look at somebody next to you while you turn and say, you're in a love triangle. We got this love affair going on. Now, let's look at Matthew 24, verse 10. Verse 10, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because lawlessness or iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. This chapter, Matthew 24, is a popular chapter because it's Jesus actually explaining or giving us signs of the end times. If you read a few verses before that, he talks about how in verse 5, that many shall come in the last days and say, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. In verse 6, it talks about how we will hear about wars and rumors of wars, right? Verse 7, it talks about nations rising against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. It talks about famines and pestilences and earthquakes that are going to arise in different places. And we heard about the earthquake Georgia just experienced, right? You guys know Georgia had an earthquake last week. Right? They experienced an earthquake. So we've seen earthquakes in diverse places, right? And all of these things, Jesus said, these are the signs of the end times. It points that we're getting closer and closer to his return. So we always talk about those things that are signs of the end. But then right here in verse 10, then he goes on and he says something else that will be happening, that will happen in the last days. Verse 10, many will be offended and shall betray one another and will hate one another. And in verse 12, he says, many people's love will wax cold. People will begin to find it hard to love one another. That's one of the signs of the end times. So I don't want any of us to become a statistic about the end times. I don't want you to begin to find it hard to love, because for Christians, as believers, this should be one of the most natural, organic expressions that we have as believers. If we have received the love of God and we're grateful for the love of God, the natural overflow of that will be love for each other. But you know what? Obviously, it's not as simple as we make it sound, right? I want to show you another verse. Let's look in Proverbs. Let me get my iPad. Proverbs chapter 18. Now watch what Solomon says. Solomon, who we know is the wisest man who ever lived. He had so much to say about everything in Proverbs. But in Proverbs 18, Solomon talks about an offense. Verse 19 reads, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. A person who has been offended is harder to win than a strong city. You know, here at Hungry for God, we're trying to win our city for Jesus. We have a vision of impacting New York City, impacting Brooklyn, and we want to bring the revelation of Jesus and the power of his presence to people's lives. We want to see transformation. We want to win our city. And we know that's a hard task. Amen? But Solomon said, to win a person who's been offended over is even harder than trying to win a city. Trying to win a person who carries an offense is harder than trying to actually win a city for Jesus. So when we go back to Matthew 24, Jesus said in the last days, many will be offended, will walk around with an offense, and then they're going to try to get into relationships with this offense. But I want you to know, it's very hard to try to love a person carrying offenses in their hearts. And the scandal that's in the love triangle that most of us are in is the scandal of an offense. As a matter of fact, the word offense in the Greek, is the word scandal. The word scandal in the Greek is actually the word scandal. I mean, the word offense. And what that means, when you translate it, is stumbling block. A stumbling block. So when you read the Bible and talk, and then you might see the word stumbling block in there, then you use the word stumbling block and offense interconnected. So inside of this, there's offenses that many of us have had, and we've all been offended in life. And those offenses, if we don't learn to deal with it, the Bible says our love will begin to wax cold. And we won't be able to love God. Some people are offended at God, and their heart towards him becomes cold. God, I thought you were going to do this for me. I prayed for you, and I expected this to happen, and it didn't happen. And then we begin to have an offense. We may not want to go to church, or we may come to church. Worship time comes on, we sit down. We don't want to worship because we have an offense towards God. Some people have an offense towards people. And because of that, they don't have many friends. Or they might say, I don't like to have people around me. I don't like people. When you say I don't like people, it's really because you have carrying offense towards others. I cannot be a mature Christian if I carry offense towards people. Because the very people God is actually calling me to minister to are people that I'm supposed to love. And if my love has become cold towards people, it's because I have an offense that God wants to deal with. And the Lord spoke to me clearly, and he said, before you go any further on this topic, on this series, deal with the offenses that are in my people's hearts. Now, Jesus made it very clear in Luke 17:1. He said, it's impossible for you to go through life without being offended. Let's look at that, Luke 17:1. Jesus said to his disciples, it is impossible, say impossible, that no offenses should come. The same Jesus says, if you believe, all things are possible. But then he tells us here, there is something that's impossible, that you will go through life and you will be offended. It's impossible for you to go and not be offended. So, if that's the case, it's not about how do we try to avoid being offended. It's how do I respond and deal with offenses when they come. I don't like the snow too much, but it's impossible for us to go through winter in New York and not experience snow. So what am I going to do? Act like the snow isn't going to come? Don't buy any shovels? Don't buy salt? And just pretend like it's not going to happen? No, I now know, okay, winter is coming. I got to get prepared for the snow. And although I may not like the snow, I got to prepare. So when it comes, it don't catch me off guard. And we need to learn to be prepared to deal with offenses and not try to make believe that no one will offend us. Because we will get offended when we go through life. So I have to learn how to deal with an offense and not try to ignore it. Because it's going to catch you off guard. And it hurts more. And you don't know how to respond to it. Amen? So we learn to deal with offenses. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, many will be offended. They're going to betray one another. They're going to hate one another. And many false prophets will arise. So you see, the stage that needs to be set for false prophets to arise are offended people. Because the false prophets come, and then they begin to tell you what you want to hear. You know, when you're in your offended state, you don't want to hear truth. But you'd rather have someone tell you what you want to hear that's going to keep you in your state of offense. So now you have an itching ear because you'd rather hear someone tell you what's going to make you commit to the pain you feel or commit to the offense you want to carry, because you don't want to let that go if you're really offended and you're holding on to that offense, right? Mm-hmm. So false prophets now rise up and they'll tell you what you want to hear. They'll make you feel good. They'll tell you things like, see, that's why I don't trust nobody. This is why I keep people, you know, to the side. And we listen to them like, preach! It's exactly what you want. But Jesus didn't ever say anything like that. Jesus said, you're in a love triangle. You're commanded to love God, love people, and you're commanded to love yourself. Truth will always ring the message of love. Not distance, not keep people to the side. Because we're in this world, and we're in this world for one reason only. I really believe God left us on this planet after we were saved. Not because he didn't want us to go to heaven yet, but I believe he wants us to learn the art of love. It's easy to love in heaven. There's perfect peace, there's perfect conditions. It's easy. But down here, it's a challenge. But God wants us to feel the experience and the joy that loving people through the way he wants us to love, the reward that gives us when we learn to love unconditionally and love the way God asks us to do. We become like God when we love, because God is love. All right? So let's go back to this thing. So let me show you this thing. Say, I'm no longer going to carry an offense.
No longer going to carry an offense.
Now, an offended person is harder to win. Carrying a spirit of offense destroys many relationships. Ministries are divided because of offenses. Anointings are lost because of offenses. Vision is corroded because of offenses. Marriages are ruined because of offenses. So if you're taking notes, write this down. The demon spirit of offense wants your love to grow cold. Offense, or the spirit of offense, is a demon spirit. It's demonic. It's a trap of the devil to steal your relationships and destroy your destiny. I'll say it again. Offense is the trap of the enemy designed to steal your relationships and destroy your destiny. When an offense is in your heart, it obstructs your vision. It slows down your progress. You get into relationships and you can't stay too long. You don't get too involved because you carry an offense. And I want to show you this. In Proverbs, Solomon gave us another powerful truth. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. Solomon said to us, above all else, above all things, above everything else I tell you, guard your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I used to always wonder, what is that? I had an idea of what it meant, but I wanted to know, what do we guard our heart from? He said, guard my heart. Now, it can be guard my heart against people, right? Because if I'm going to get into relationships, I can't go with a defending heart. I can't go with my guards up. So it's not people that I'm supposed to keep out or I'm supposed to guard it from, but I'm supposed to guard my heart from offense. Mm-hmm. Because once offense comes into my heart, my love grows cold. So Solomon said, above all things, keep your heart, guard your heart, monitor your heart with all diligence. Say diligence.
Diligence.
For out of it springs the issues of your life. Out of your own heart, the issues in your life, they're coming from. They're flowing out of your own heart. When somebody gets on your nerves, it's not that they're getting on your nerves. When someone makes you angry, it's not that they're bringing anger on you. Anger is coming out of you. I'm angry because this is what's in me. This person just brought it out of me. But we want to blame the other person. Say, you made me angry. It was here. They just brought it out. And you know what? God brings us in the context of relationships because there's some things in you don't know is in you until you get into certain relationships, especially a committed relationship like marriage. Because then you begin to see the worst come out of you. I'm a witness. Stuff I thought was crucified, and I was dead, and I overcame, and I got married.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this still doing here? I thought I got rid of this. But I'm telling you, the thing is, the natural response is to say, you made me angry. You got on my nerves. You made me lose my temper. But what's in my heart came out. And that's why it says, guard your heart, monitor your heart, pay attention to your heart, how your heart responds to situations. Because it's how you are responding that's showing what's in you that's going to become an issue in your life. And more than likely, most of the heart issues that we have come from offenses we've experienced in life. Not going to get too many amens today.
Amen.
But most of the issues in our lives come from offenses that we have not kept out of our hearts. So let me give you this. So now, write this down. What are Let me just give you guys these 4 points. 4 things about offenses. Number one, offenses will always come. Luke 17:1, right? It's impossible for it to come. So it doesn't matter. You can find the most beautiful person, go to the most beautiful place in the world, do all that you want, but offenses will find you. Offenses will come. Somebody will step on your big toe. Somebody will bump you the wrong way. Somebody will say something smart to you. Somebody will offend you. Right? So number one, offenses will come. Number two, write this down. Offenses are necessary. Offenses are necessary. What do you mean offenses are necessary? Why? Because what I've realized, God will allow offenses to come your way so that they can reveal your heart.
That's true.
God will allow offenses to come so that it can reveal the condition of your heart. God will offend the mind so that he can reveal the heart. So when you get offended, you begin to see what's in you. And then it needs to get dealt with. That's why you're supposed to guard your heart. When you get into certain situations, when you get into certain communities and get into certain places, whether it's in your job or it's with your family members or whatever it is in the context of whatever relationship that you're in, when you begin to see how your heart responds to the offense when it comes, then you can realize, how do I grow in this area? You know, offense is linked to immaturity. The more immature you are, the easily offended you are.
That's right.
Some people, you got to walk on eggshells around them.
That's right.
You can't say this, or they're going to be mad. Everything, you got to be scared. You don't know what to say. Listen, that is one of the greatest signs of immaturity. The greatest expression of immaturity is that a person who is easily offended. And God wants us to mature. Offenses will come. You will get offended, but how you respond to it will determine and demonstrate the condition of your heart. Number three, what else should we know about offenses? We all offend one another in word or deed. So it's impossible for you to not offend someone, no matter how perfect you try to live.
That's right.
Look at, James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. What do they say an offense was? A stumbling block. We all offend in many things. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Able also to bridle the whole body. So we all stumble, we all offend people, even Jesus. The Bible says that the same Matthew 22, he spoke to the rich young ruler, and he told him, you know, the rich young ruler said, well, I keep all these commands. I love God, I love people. I mean, I do all the stuff that Jesus said to do, what the Father said to do. And Jesus said, there's one thing you're lacking. I want you to sell all the possessions you have and give it to the poor. And the young ruler said, that's a hard thing to do. And the Bible says he was offended and walked away. He was offended that Jesus asked him to sell what was up here. Jesus told him the truth. See, when you walk in truth and you preach the truth and you share the truth of God and love of God, people will get offended. But that says nothing about, there's nothing bad about you. You offend people all the time that you don't even know.
Right.
I offend people that I don't know.
Right.
See, so and we're going to stumble in many ways. We're all going to do things. So if I know that people will do something that's going to be an offense to me, I have to now be prepared to not take offense to when people stumble to me, towards me, or around me. Amen? Because
right.
I'm also causing offense to somebody, whether it's aware or unaware. Amen? And what else I want you to know about offense? So I said, I'm not writing all this stuff down so you guys have it. So the first thing I said is offense will come. Number two, offenses are necessary. We all offend one another. Some people get offended when if I ask for offering. Right? People get offended if you ask for offering. They get offended if you ask them to stand too long, praise and worship. You get offended if you say lift up your hands. You get offended when you say talk to the person next to you. People get offended. As a pastor, I'm going to offend you more than once probably. So again, these things are going to come. And the next thing I want you to know is this. Number four, offenses can be justified or not justified. I mean, there could be a justifiable reason why you're offended. That right now, whatever offense you're carrying in your life or in your heart, there may be a justifiable reason why you're offended. Right. Somebody just really done something crazy to you. They betrayed you, as the Bible says. They turned their back on you. They said they were going to be there, they weren't there. And the reason why we get offended is because our expectations were deferred. We hoped in something, or we hoped in someone, and we thought this person was going to come through for us. And the very thing we expected from them, they didn't do it, and we take an offense, right? So when the offense comes, the Bible says that there might be some reasons that are justifiable for you why you were offended. But we can legally say, well, I want to stay in this offense, or I can choose to not stay in it. It's about, am I going to keep my right to be offended about this situation, or am I going to choose the route that Christ wants me to do, which is to forgive the offense? You see, let's look at it like this. Somebody betrayed you, somebody turned their back on me. You did nothing wrong. You took advantage of me. I was young. But I can be just, and again, it can be a justifiable reason. Will I be legally justified and legally bitter all my life? Or I can say it did happen, but I'm going to forgive. Jesus went to the cross and he did nothing wrong. He did absolutely nothing wrong. He had no reason to be on that cross. But the Bible says he went on that cross and he said, Father, forgive them. I give up my right to be right. Love, what did I say love does? Love is not about being right. I can argue with my wife and let her know my point that I was right. But if she's mad. I'd rather her be right and it's peace than me to prove my point to be right when we both mad. Marcus can say amen. Right? So I mean, if Jesus went to the cross, Jesus went to the cross and he did nothing wrong. But he didn't hold on to his right to be right and say, I don't deserve to be here. This shouldn't happen to me. I did nothing wrong. But he went to the cross all for the sake of love. And he said, I'm going to take this fall. I'm going to take the blame for this one. I'm going to take the fall. And you know what? Father, forgive them because they didn't even know what they did. Jesus decided to change his perspective towards the offense. Jesus changed his perspective towards the offense. Some of us, all we need to do is change our, get a new perspective about the situation, and we can move on. Some people are still, we're still mad about our dads because they wasn't in our lives, or we're still mad at this person because they weren't there. But how about maybe this person just didn't know how to love me? How about this person was just in a situation that they did not know how to handle, and the only thing they had to do was run away, right? If we can change our perspectives and not choose to hold on to the offense and allow the Holy Spirit to show us the truth about this matter, we can move on from the offenses in our hearts. Amen?
That's
right. So we have to be willing to change. Say, I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to forgive.
I'm willing to mature.
Now, once again, so I gave you guys four different points about offenses. And I want you to realize that these offenses is not really an option for us to deal with this because, once again, if I'm in this love triangle, somebody's going to offend me. Sometimes we offend ourselves. You know, when you sin, you offend yourself. Why? That's why if you sin, you feel bad. You feel guilty when you do something you shouldn't do, right? Why? Because God created us to live a certain way, and when we sin, we not only sin against Him, we sin against ourselves. You know, one of the things that I've realized, this is something the Holy Spirit has found put in my heart, that He said, you know, you don't love yourself enough. That's what God said to me. He said, you don't love yourself enough. Offenses will keep you stagnant in life, it'll keep you stranded in life, and it will hinder the blessings and increase that God actually wants to send your way. Because if you cannot grow from certain offenses at this level, God cannot take you to your next level. Because as you increase and as you grow in life, bigger offenses will come. You want to grow in wealth. You want to grow in influence. Well, more money, more problems, right? It's true. Some of you have great plans and dreams to run your businesses and to start groups and to do all the things that you sense that God is calling in your heart. Well, guess what? The more people you're going to serve, is the more people that will probably offend you or you'll probably offend. So you got to learn how to deal with an offense now. And I really believe God in His grace is going to keep you in the level that you're on until you're willing to forgive, forget, move on, let go of the offenses, and make a decision to grow on for higher things, to mature in the area of your life. If you want to get into a romantic relationship, you want to pursue marriage, but you have offenses in your heart, you got to get rid of that stuff. Why? Offenses keep you dwelling on the past. And instead of dwelling on the now and the future that God is setting you up for. When I'm still stuck on what happened, then I'm not focused on what's happening and what God wants to make happen. Come on. So God wants me to forgive what happened to me before, what happened in the past, who offended me, who offended you. Let's find out, let's ask for forgiveness. If we can't find a person, we can still let go of it and choose to move on from it, because we will continue to be stagnant in the progress of our relationships and our lives if we don't know how to forgive and forget and let go of offenses. And I'm going to tell you some signs of offense in a person. I'm not going to say all this point tomorrow. Some signs of an offended heart. They choose to isolate. They don't participate. Another sign of an offense. You retract and hide within yourself. You go back to the old man that you were before Christ. You get angry. The old nature. And you carry an offense. Somebody does something, you get so upset. Number three, an offense. A person lives in the past and not in the now. Another sign of an offense. Always protected. Always have your walls up. Always defended. You're always guarding. But you're guarding the wrong thing. Instead of guarding your heart from an offense, you're not guarding the offense in your heart. Instead of keeping it out or kicking it out, you're keeping it in. So an offended person, they get around people, but they have defenses up. So now, instead of loving people, you have an offense. Instead of learning to receive more of the love of God, you have an offense. You have a defensive mechanism. And I'm telling you, there are some things that God wants to release into your life right now that cannot come because of that wall of offense, that sprint of offense. Offenses keep you protected. People use excuses. The kingdom of God is a relational culture. It's a relational community. It's all about interacting with people. God won't give you an anointing and you don't like people. What's the anointing for? Why would you be anointed? To sit down and look cute? You're not anointed to be served. You're anointed to serve. Yes. And we're anointed to serve people. That means I have to want to be around people. That means I have to want to like people or be willing to love people. It starts, you know, the Bible says if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Sometimes, instead of trying to be obedient, just start being willing. Instead of trying to, Lord, I want to forgive, but I can't. That's the wrong way to think about it. I don't feel like forgiving, but I'm willing. God only really wants your willingness. A willing heart to God. As long as you're willing, the Holy Spirit says, that's all I need. I'll give you the grace. I'll give you the power. I'll give you what it is that you need to do it. But all I really want you to do is willing. When you say it's too hard, you're not looking at the grace. You're looking at your flesh. You're looking at yourself. I can't forgive. Yeah, you can't. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, is able to use you to forgive even when you think you can't. So it's not about looking at yourself. Self-conscious people are easily offended. Self-righteous people are easily offended. Selfish people are easily offended. The key in all is itself. You're more focused on yourself than you are of others. And that's what an offense does. What happened to me? This happened to me. You hurt me. You're the victim. Like I said, it may have happened and it was justifiable, but are you going to remain bitter all your life? Is this too harsh?
No.
Okay, good. Am I offending you?
At least you.
Offended people are self-seeking. Self-seeking. We look for what others can give us. And so we want to do these things. Oh, let me give you this last point. When a person is a sign of an offense is when a person conforms to their pain. Conforms to the pain and becomes the pain. They conform to the pain and become the pain. They conform to the pain and then they become a pain. All right? Yeah, you conform the pain, you become one with that pain, that situation, and then you look for people to massage your emotional pain. You want people to keep feeding that because you want to stay in that. But I'm telling you, I'm not a fan. One of my pet peeves is self-pity. The sound of it, when people talk to me and they want me to pity them, it gets me annoyed. That's one of the few things that gets me angry. Shanique can tell you. And it's not because I'm mean, I don't have any compassion, but when a person is looking for pity, they're not looking for help. They're not looking for help. They want somebody to talk to them and keep them in that state. I'm not going to molest your emotional pain. Either we're going to get set free from this, we're going to move on, or you're going to stay right there, but I'm moving on. Come on. And some of you, there's some people around you in self-pity. They want you to come there and massage and molest them in their state right now. They want you to feel sorry for them. They want you to cry with them about the same situation and matter over and over again, and that's not helping them. Come on. And the way you're going to love them is saying, listen, we're going to get through this. You got an issue? Let's pray about it. Let's seek counsel about it. But I'm not going to sit here and keep feeding into this because it's going to wear you out. Jesus didn't help anybody with self-pity. Cain got into self-pity when he killed Abel. That's another message. However, we have to realize this. There's so much I want to say. I'm going to try to close this thing. When you conform to your pain, listen to this, and you allow the pain, you become the pain, what begins to happen is sickness holds on to emotional pain.
Right.
The power of sickness is rooted in the pain that you hold on to. So there's some people, their pain feeds their cancer.
Right.
Their pain feeds their fibroids. Their pain feeds their diabetes. Let me tell you. Let this time the Holy Spirit reveal to me. Your pain literally can feed a sickness in your body. That's why when a person forgives, they release that pain and they get healed. I've seen it. Because the sickness in your body needs the pain to continue to feed it.
Right.
I don't know what it is. The Bible says, beloved, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Your soul is the emotional element of your life. Your emotions, your thought life, all those things are a part of your soul. So the condition of your soul will determine the health in your physical body. A lot of sicknesses are linked to you holding on to certain pains, unforgiveness, bitterness, all those things make you sick. It's not medically proven as well. So you can heal yourself of some things just by letting go.
Amen.
Letting go of pain and letting go of hurts in your life. Again, this is not really what I want to talk about. But this is where the Lord led me. And I really believe this is the key to having issues, one of the keys to having healthy relationships for the rest of your life. It's starting with you, starting with me, and looking at my heart and beginning to see what offenses am I carrying that I need to let go. If a sign of an offended person says, I don't like people, I want to isolate myself from people, you have an offense and we need to deal with it. Because next week I'm going to talk about the most important relationship on earth, the most important type of relationship. And this relationship is literally contingent on knowing how to get over offenses. All right? So, as I close, how do we get over offenses? How do we deal with offenses? Number one, how do we get over offense? We confess it. James chapter 5, verse 19. Hallelujah. James chapter 5, verse 19. How do I remove an offense from my heart? Before I think about getting into romantic relationships, if I'm single, or I think about getting into committed relationships, how do I get rid of these offenses that I have towards people, towards God, wherever it is, so that I can move on? James 5, is it 16 or 19? Yeah, I don't know if I wrote the right thing. 16. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your trespasses, your sins to one another, and pray for one another. So confession. If I have an offense, it's very important to learn to confess it. Confession is to speak out of your mouth. It means to say the same thing. Primarily, it's when I confess, say a sin, I'm confessing what's in my heart so that I can get rid of it. This is a very important key because the mouth is the exit gate of what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. If you want something that's in your heart to leave your heart, you have to speak it out of your mouth. Just like how we say things to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, but we have our ears as an entry point. We hear things and we let it into our hearts. We can let things out of our hearts by our words. So if I have something in my heart that I want out of it, I must confess it. That's why I confess my sins to God, and He forgives me. Sometimes we confess our offenses. We confess things to one another, and we can move on from it. So we have to open up our mouths and say, you know what? I got this offense in my heart. I need to get it out. And God will begin to extract it once you let it out your mouth. See, I was offended by my father. I was offended by my sister. I was offended by my ex-boyfriend. I was offended. Whoever offended you, my last pastor offended me. He did this, did that. Whatever it is, the offense, God wants you to forgive it. Get rid of it, confess it, I should say, and then move on. Some of you came from other churches and things happened, and you might be carrying offense towards that. And then I'm here, and I'm wondering why you don't want to participate, or why you don't want to get involved, or why you don't do things, because when I was in my last church, they took advantage of me, and I don't know. All right, so we got to get rid of that, because God brings you into a new relationship, or a new fellowship, or wherever you are, so that you can move on from it. Amen? So we confess it. Number two, we ask for forgiveness. We forgive. Forgive those who offended us. Forgive those who offended. Forgive the person. If you can't see them, if you can't speak to them, just forgive. Just let it out your mouth. Yeah, I forgive them. I'm moving for them. And one of the ways to help you forgive and move on is praying for that person. It's something about when you pray for the person that's offended you that changes your heart towards the situation. Because it's like as you're speaking to God and as you're praying about it, it's like God begins to give you his heart for that person. So try it. Sometimes pray for the person that offended you. Number three, die to yourself. Die to your carnal self. That means yield your rights over. You may have a right to be angry. You may have a right to be offended. But you can also have a right to remain bitter, sick, stranded in your life, never be able to have a healthy relationship, never be able to have a healthy love life. You can let go of this thing, you can move on, or you can just stay bitter and offended. All right, so you have to decide that. And number four, commit yourself to maturity. Once again, easily offended people are immature. It's immaturity. It's the highest level of immaturity. When I'm willing to let go of an offense and I'm willing to grow, and I have I think somebody called it a bounce back attitude, where somebody offends you, you just know how to bounce back and let it even hinder you. That's so powerful. Because Jesus said, if you can learn to deal with an offense, you can learn to move mountains. I didn't mean to go ahead. Luke 17, I'm going to wrap it up from right there. When Jesus told the disciples this, I want you to see what the disciples said back to him in Luke 17. It's impossible that you will be offended in life, but woe to him through whom they come. Thank you. Verse 2. It will be better for him who offends if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So that means none of you really, we don't have a right to go around offending people. But in case we do, we should be mindful of if we're doing it and not seek to do so, right? So verse 3, Jesus said, now what? Take heed to who? Yourselves. We're good at looking at other people and monitoring them to see how they're going to offend you, how they're going to say something that's going to get on your nerves today, or how they're going to do something that's going to get you upset, get you angry, and you're looking for somebody to offend you. Offended people look for an offense to stay offended. Right? So Jesus didn't say, he said, guard your heart. Look at your own heart. Look at how you respond to situations. Take heed to yourselves if your brother sins against you. We're good at looking at other people, but we need to start looking in our own hearts, because out of it flows the issues of our lives. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. The word rebuke means to speak to him and correct and ask in correction. Say, hey man, Eli, last week I tried to say hi to you and you just walked past me. You offended me.
Sorry.
He said sorry. That's rebuking. It's approaching, it's going up to a person and asking to deal with it. Say, last week, sister, you know, I try to get your attention, you went past me. So people get offended for that. Say, oh man, I didn't see you, I'm so sorry. But an offended person will hold on to it, don't say nothing. Say, you know what, last week Coco won't pass me, she didn't say nothing. I'm not saying nothing to her today. Now Coco sees me, she's trying to go, hey, you give me the sorry eye. Couple's like, what's up? And that person is still holding on. I don't like that. If somebody offended you here, if I offended you, we have permission here to say to one another, you know, you hurt me the other day, you really offended me. It's healthy to do so. That's what Jesus actually said to do, right? Approach the person, talk to them. Now, what if I came to Eli and said, Eli, you walked past me last week, you didn't say nothing. Eli says, so what? What do I do in that situation?
Should give him anyway.
Fight him?
Yeah. I can talk it out.
I can talk to him. I can try to talk to him some more about it. I can pray for him. But I can look back at what verse 2 said. Jesus said, woe to the person who offense comes. You don't want to forgive me? Or you don't want to, you know, steal the situation, then the Bible says he's going to have to deal with a millstone around his neck.
That's
a situation on his life will come as a result of him not being willing to forgive and not being willing to deal with situations. I'm telling you, this is important that we understand the simple, practical things that I'm telling you, it translates into every other relationship we have. Married couples, lovers, get into relationships, you don't talk about things, and then it just boils into friction and strife and, you know, bad, really bad things, right? Verse 4. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, I'm sorry, you shall what?
Forgive
him. So that means there's no limits to how many times a person can offend you and you can forgive them. So maybe how, see, I'm telling you, marriage is one of the best ways to build on this principle.
Yes, it is.
All right, verse 5. And the apostles said to them, Jesus, after that, Lord, increase our faith. You see? So guess what? When you your faith is greatly diminished when you don't learn how to forgive offenses. Look at what he said in verse 6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots, be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Jesus immediately, this is like a whole different conversation, but it's the same conversation. Your ability to respond to offenses in life, when it comes, to forgive people and to move on, your ability to remove offenses and deal with offenses actually directly correlates to the power of your faith. That your prayers will be answered, your decrees will work, your declarations, when you begin to pray for someone and you begin to command situations to change, because there's no offense in your heart, when you speak, you can speak to a mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots, and it will obey you. The supernatural is available to you when you learn to let go of offenses, when you learn to speak out of your own heart. Say, you know what? I'm going to live an offense-free life. I'm going to live an offense-free life. I'm not going to walk around offended anymore. I'm not going to hold on to bitterness. I don't know who or anyone in here. I'm pretty sure we've all been offended because it's impossible for us to not be offended. But I don't know, in your own heart, how you respond to an offense when it comes. Is it hindering you right now? Is your destiny on hold today because you are holding on to an offense? Is there bitterness still rooted in you? When you get around people, how open are you? How free are you around other people? How easily are you able to walk into around new people and open up your heart? One of the biggest things I really would love to see in our church and in the churches all over the world is that we would be a people who would be so free about our heart conditions because we have a judgment-free zone. Nobody's looking to hold anything against you. And if somebody can say, you know what, I did this, I struggled with this, and I want somebody to just confess it to and speak it to. And no one feels offended.